Can you say hard hats, folks? Hard hats, lunch pails, steel-toe boots?
Anything short of a championship this year is a failure.
Look really at this boomer right here.
You've just got so much talent here.
Somebody said we need to apologize for Jalen.
Can I call the John? What are we apologizing for? What'd we say? What'd we do?
No, it's busy.
I was doing a lot of things. Welcome to the
we got a show
back. Yeah,
exciting show tonight. Not so much about the game. There's a lot of stuff going on. A lot of exciting stuff. Great
we're
game
excited
too.
About, yeah, we're excited
Great
about.
We're excited yeah. about just being excited.
The Jimmy John podcast. We're excited about that.
Back two nights in a row. We pulled one out last night, John. We pulled one out.
Yeah.
People didn't think we could do it.
Well, that was tough. That was tough. I had to pick fights.
Yeah. You came out firing right off the top last game. You were out for karma, the whole nine yards. You were digging deep into your bag, as they say.
Yeah. Yeah. There's already some controversy here.
Really? What's going on?
We have launched our bracket, Jimmy.
I'm well aware.
There's a lot of people right now in the chat seeing that Blorp made the bracket. And you know what they're shouting?
Are they butthurt?
Well, what are they shouting?
I don't know. What are they shouting?
Tell me, chat. What's everybody feeling right now that Blorp got an entry?
Gomez. Oh, that's they're jealous. Saying, they're saying that's jealous.
They're saying that's jealous.
They're saying that's jealous. Yeah.
Yes. He's in the play-in game in the Hermann Gomez region, in the Kevin Jelly region. We have a play-in right now between I Just Spit Out My Vodka and Tilapia TV, which, wow. You know, that's a late entry.
Yeah, that's
as well.
A play-in matchup. That's definitely
a play-in matchup. Those
Tilapia
are
Tilapia TV just, what are they, a 16 seed or an 18 Cinderella? They just came out of nowhere.
They just came out of nowhere.
Tilapia TV is like the thief that stole heaven.
Nick Gelso thought for the longest while that Blorp was my burner. I'm like, nah, man, I'm not that funny.
Yeah, well, you would nominate yourself. You would sneakily nominate yourself for the tournament, though.
Nah,
so.
Man. Blorp is killing it. Listen, we've pinned it in the chat. We're going to vote. Like the play-in is tonight and tonight only, and whatever comes through on the Twitter poll in the 24 hours that it is active, and then bang, the brackets are locked in, and we will begin voting in our 1-8 matchups in both regions, the Hermann Gomez region and the Kevin Jelly region. We will begin that on Wednesday.
It's exciting. I like wait a second. Farts My Dog got screwed. Farts My Dog, I thought, was a 1 seed. Now I'm looking at it and it's a 2 seed.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
You got Tangwayed.
If I got Tangwayed by the number one, that's okay.
You
if
got
I have to
Tangwayed,
nothing like a nice little 2-1. I think it's gonna be Thanasis versus Farts My Dog in the.
Wait, let's look at it one more time.
In that field there, yeah. I mean, let's break it down. I mean, it's a tough 2-7 though, John. You really put me up against it right off the top. That's jealous is a hot one right now. They're coming.
That's a hot one.
They're coming in the bracket hot.
That's a hot one. I actually thought I had put it against Luke's Lemon Squares, but that's tough.
You put three of my four all against each other. Farts My Dog, Sad Girls. I did invent Blame Pie. hey, Luis made the bracket too. Is
Luis made it
about
too.
That?
Yeah.
Luke's Lemon Squares at 2. Yeah, it's going to be a good one. This is going to be a good one.
And let's bring in Bobby Manning and see what he thinks about the bracket. The Hermann Gomez region right now. Thanasis Manning is a heavy favorite.
Heavy.
He's going to take on either Blorp or is that a tie in the 1-8 matchup? You got Tangwayed is going to take out either I Just Spit Out My Vodka or Tilapia TV, a late entry into that. It's Farts.
Yeah.
Why is it Farts not Facts? Because Facts is old. Farts is new.
Farts took over. Yeah, Farts took over. Yeah. It has to do with
that region's loaded.
Chair fart. It is. John stacked one side.
I didn't mean to. That's not how I.
This is why I wanted to see.
I'm not blaming the producer. I had a couple of things in different regions. It is what it is. That's what we got right now.
Hey, take it up with the committee.
And yes, taking all the old ones out made it hard to fill out. But I feel like stuff that's no longer part of our vernacular doesn't.
Yeah, I was bummed about that.
Herman Gomez was just stacked. Herman Gomez is stacked right now.
Yeah, it is. It's like the East and the real one.
You got Tangwade is gonna roll to the championship, and then we'll see who he faces.
Vote for me, Tilapia TV. All right, let's talk some basketball, guys, because that's what people are here for, right? After all,
always.
Bobby Manning joining us early. You know, go.
What's up?
You go.
You go, Bobby. You were there.
The chat usually waits for you to talk basketball. Even Bobby doesn't want to talk basketball tonight.
This was somehow worse. This was somehow worse than last night. Maybe I'm just more tired. Maybe
I liked it much better than last night.
Really?
Yeah, I did too, actually.
Yeah, no, this one was tough to follow. It was fun watching Ivy do his thing.
I hated last night because it was over in 12 seconds. The Celtics had enough, like, bench players on the floor where it was, like, possible.
No, you're right. Like,
it would remain competitive. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you see Porzingis out there. He got a couple second half rotations, which was good. Ended up stacking together an excellent game for being off for five games there. So that's a good look for him. Looks like he's a little limited right now in terms of minutes. How much of that is the game here and what they actually need, and how much of it is his health? Because he doesn't look like he's laboring out there. It doesn't even look like he's tired, though he did play short stretches in each half and not come back in the later portions of those halves. So that was probably the best thing out of tonight. Seeing him with Luke, I thought, was surprising, but a good look. They came into this game plus 25 over 60 minutes, so it had worked in other spots this year. It worked again tonight, I thought. I'm not sure if it's a playoff lineup, just because I don't think you want to take Porzingis out of the pick and roll. He did hit his threes early and often tonight. I think he started three or five, so he can space the four. He can be playing the four and the wing, picking and popping out of that spot and letting Luke play close to the basket. So it's an option if you really need it. I think out of all the experimenting so far, John, we've seen that be the best double big look in terms of using the bench. But Luke and Tillman look good again tonight, too. And they came into this game a plus 25, just 20 minutes. But we predicted that was going to be the look with Hauser out. You saw a ton of it tonight. No Kata, but Tillman, I thought this was about as good as he's looked so far. Defensively, he made some incredible plays, stayed with Ivy at one point. There might have been Flynn on that play that I'm talking about. I've rotated backside and got a block. I thought he looked as good as he has throughout his time with the Celtics here, and they were able to win those minutes, I believe, and just another step every night with him, it feels like. Every night he just looks a little bit better. They're plus 19 in this game with him out there. Just 2 points. Misses another three, so still that question where the offense is going to come from when he's out there, but the defense is stellar. Five positions, clearly, in a game like this. You saw him out on guards. Rotations, sharp. I love it. And that's all I really cared about with this one. Brown was great, but nothing.
It's the same thing. It's like, yeah. Tatum was great last night. Brown was great tonight. But again, you know what you get, though? You get a little glimpse of, and again, Detroit is obviously a bottom feeding team and also is out, you know, some.
They're key pieces, all of them.
Some key players. So, I mean, once again, you're facing this lineup like, who, you know? So, you know, somebody scores and you're like, I didn't know that person was alive. So, you know, you're constantly looking down at your program. But it still is amazing, like, how many guys the Celtics can be out and still dominate a team. And that's, again, what they did tonight is it's still impressive in when they go on that third quarter run. And I still love seeing guys like Pritchard, you know, have nights like they had again tonight. And I had an ear to ear grin during the behind the back, pass to Tillman there, that he had during that third quarter run where they kind of blew things open. It was fun. There was some fun stuff to be had tonight. They're moving the ball around when they have these units. JB goes into takeover mode, and then, you know, getting White on the, you know,
we got him a triple double.
My second highlight of the night, my two highlights of the night, Pritchard behind the back to Tillman, and then Luke Kornet's reaction to the Derek White 10th assist. As soon as it goes up,
yeah,
you know.
He's a good reaction guy. I'll give him that. For all his words, Bobby, Luke is a good reaction guy.
I want to shout out Corrales because he noticed it, but they pick a section and the section that they have a player for every section who's up for free dunking gift cards or something. And so that player has to get the first dunk of the game, and that section wins the dunking gift card. So Luke's section won. He had the first dunk of the night, and he knew where the section was and gave them like a fist pump after.
That is actually pretty good.
I love that stuff.
He's incredible. And the confidence he's playing. I hate to go there because I know it drives you guys crazy, but he's playing so well.
Okay. And that was talking
like about you gotta have confidence in him right now going into the playoffs. He's just getting better with every month.
I don't.
He's fitting into more lineups that could project to impact the playoffs.
I don't. I feel exactly the same I've always felt. Extremely tight bench, extremely tight leash, and he can get played off the floor.
So
he will
after all this. So after all this double big experimenting, John, they're not going to play double big in the playoffs.
I think they will do it in spurts based on situations, but I think it's going to be used sparingly, and I think they're going to be very, very careful on it. And like I said, I think it's going to be an extremely quick hook. I think if they see something that they like and it's working, great. I don't think Joe's committing to, you know, the amount of minutes that Luke's been getting, even with a full lineup here. You know, when they have their full lineup and nobody's resting and you're not holding back on anybody's minutes, I don't see it. So I'm not against it. I actually think there's a role for Tillman. I think there's a role for Luke, and I think these guys will get in. But as I said, Luke's the type of guy who can get played off the floor, and he will certain times, or they'll just opt not to, you know, not to give him minutes against certain teams and in certain situations. But I still think it's something that you're going to watch closely. But look, everybody watches all bench rotations in the playoffs closely. That's why you often see really only seven guys getting minutes with a couple of guys getting, you know, a few here or there. That's just kind of how it goes. So, yeah, a lot of his guaranteed minutes are going to go way, 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 way down in the playoffs. I think it's not going to be part of the regular plan. I think he'll get a little bit of run. I'm not sure how much
he can come in and give you a little bit of an oomph, lift you up. Maybe. I mean, again, I said it, I think last show, you want to put him in there, spell whoever he's coming in, whether it's Porzingis, Horford, any of the bigger guys that are getting more minutes than him. Just don't give up the lead. Just be a plus out there. That's really what he needs to focus on, is that plus minus coming off the bench. That's all you need from Luke. Go in there, do your job, catch a couple alley-oops, make a couple of, you know, grab a couple boards if you can, and, you know, then find the bench after. I think, I mean, Bobby, I don't know in the playoffs if you really can ask much more of that.
I think you're going to get, if they play double big, one rotation from them in the first half, 4 or 5 minutes. If it's good, you'll see him in the second half.
And exactly.
Talked about, if he's not, you won't. And you'll go back to the single big alignments. But they are working hard, whether it's Cornette, whether it's Tillman, and we'll have that debate until the playoffs, to have double big be part of their dynamic. And I have to imagine that's going to continue into the playoffs. And a lot of it's going to be matchup based, obviously. If it's a perimeter team, it looks like Tillman's going to be the way to go. But you have questions about the offense there. Cornette, the defensive limitations, him getting put in actions, as John talks about, that's your question with him going into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But I have a hard time imagining them going all small, all playoffs. And you know, again, it depends on the team, but they seem to love going double big. And I actually thought it would be Tillman with Porzingis to start this game, but getting a look at that Luke Porzingis combination was intriguing, especially with how tall they both are, how long they both are. It took up a lot of space out there defensively, and the Pistons had some trouble with it. And Cornette's gotten so much better on the boards to be able to have a 10-rebound game out there alongside Kristaps. So I liked what I saw from all those guys. Tillman was excellent tonight. I really loved what he gave.
He's really outstanding. He moves extremely well there, and he can stay with people. He was bothering guys on the perimeter and getting his hand on the ball and disruptive. I'll put it this way. You know, we talked about having specialists off the bench. I think it is a legit weapon if you need it for certain matchups, to be able to have somebody like that that you can bring in there and be disruptive on defense. And again, a team that's this offensively talented as the Celtics are, really, that's all you're looking for at times. So, it probably is matchup dependent to see who they play. But the dude's tough. It's a good addition. It's a good addition. I'm not going to say it's a good problem to have. It's not a problem. You needed more options. It's nice to have that. right now heading into the playoffs. It's nice to know that that's something that you can potentially utilize.
Absolutely. And he has the playoff experience too, because you look at this bench.
I like
Pritchard has minimal. Cornett has none. Hauser has none. And Tillman has two playoff series under his belt and one really good one against the Grizzlies where he went 8-8. So that's valuable as well. And he's played against some of the best offensive players, some of the best bigs on offense in the league, whether it's Karl-Anthony Towns, Anthony Davis. So you know that he's going to be able to play in the playoffs. That's not a question. So that's valuable. And again, the cost wasn't too much. I just hope by the time the playoffs come around, which is coming up pretty quickly here, he's integrated in everything they're doing and he has that trust, which seems to be developing rapidly with Joe. I know Joe talked a couple minutes ago, our last practice, about how he had to get everything down, the terminology, plays, how they defend, before he was comfortable throwing them in there. Because remember, John, for so long, I know he was hurt before the break, but even after the break, they wouldn't play him at all. And now you're getting him out there almost every game, it feels like, especially with guys in and out of the lineup. So I like it. He's trying to get that three down.
I mean, he only took the one today. I think if they want him to simulate the Al Horford role sometimes when he's out there, that's where he's going to be. So they want him to try to take that shot. It's not a great shot.
He's better at it than Brissett. That's what you can say.
Which, again, God, the heavens, you know, opened up and Brissett finally knocked down a three. And you could see it on his face. He was like, you know, God, I got one. But yeah, it's been rough for him when he's out there. And what's amazing is if he even was knocking it down, I don't know what his percentage is this year. It's like, what, 12?
He's 16 since the start of February.
It's pretty bad.
It really is.
If he was knocking it down at 32%, you'd be like, fine. Wide open, take it. You know? But like, it's just dreadful. It's. I mean,
I don't know what's going on.
It's dreadful.
And he's open.
It's mental, right? I mean, not that he's a knockdown, you know, career.
No, but he's a career 34% guy. He should be there, like below league average, but not so far. It's like year one Derek White. Like, there's no explanation for why he's missing that badly or the percentage is that low. He's not great, but he's a better shooter than that. It would have been nice if, you know, he was a more reliable 3-and-D guy because the energy is great. And the
offensive rebounding is off the charts right now.
Rebounding is amazing. You know, he's really got a knack for it.
I think he's
best. And honestly, he can finish and he can play in transition because he's a good leaper.
I think he's the best offensive rebounding forward I've ever seen them have. And I don't know who else is in that conversation, but he goes out there for 15 minutes. It's two or three every time, but he misses the putbacks early in this game off of those. He gets fouled on some of them and then misses the free throws, and then he's missing the three, so it's tough. And, you know, Joe really likes what he's given them. Every time we talk double big in those alignments, he includes him in there. So he's in that conversation right now, at least in the regular season. But, man, the shot making's just not even close to the point where you'd even think about
it. Yeah, you missed the 50 playoffs. Or so games of the Danny Fortson era, you know, when you want to talk about offensive rebounding. But, yeah, it's
what year are we talking there?
You were lucky, like 2000. Like, you are lucky to have missed that one for sure.
We'll have to get that in the documentary.
Yeah. He was a beast.
Those were the years that forged the Celtics fans of my era. Really?
Yeah. Exactly.
Who we are today.
The lean years.
Yeah. we weeded out all the weaklings.
Whoever was.
It's what the Patriots and the Sox are doing now. They're trying to burn it, you know.
Only the strong will survive that.
And see who's left.
Whoever lived through those years and just lived and died through those years deserves what they're watching every night now. No doubt about it.
Appreciate you saying that. Yes, I agree.
Good job, Jimmy. You deserve it.
Came in as a fan like in the late 90s. Like, I couldn't have came in at a worse time. So
looks like we're going to hear from Pritchard and Porzingis tonight, as well as Derek White.
At the podium?
Yes.
A Pritchard podium game?
No, White podium. Pritchard was locker room.
Yeah, okay. We can live with that.
White's the podium. White had a podium performance tonight.
This is his first triple-double? I was looking for it. It must be, right?
I believe they said on the broadcast that it is.
Broadcast was all over it.
Yeah, I couldn't remember another one.
Yeah.
That's well, great.
I'll tell you this. If you, my friends, had played Prize Picks tonight and took more on, I'm pretty sure, every single stat option for Derek White, you would have probably hit it. And that's what you got to do here. Head over to Prize Picks, the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. Easiest, most exciting way to play DFS. Like you said, it's you against the numbers. You pick more or less. That's it. More or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Perfect time to sign up right now. The tournament is about to start. You're going to have nonstop action beginning on Thursday. You got nonstop action starting now on the Garden Report with the play in the game. As you see, you can vote. It's pinned in the chat. Our play in tournament right now. We'll put up the bracket again as soon as we're done telling you all about Prize Picks. And we do urge you to sign up if you want to get in on the daily fantasy action. Super more. Easy to sign up. Really, really, yeah, and go more. Go less on NBA stuff because of the officiating. Go more on everything. More, it's more fun to root for more.
So here's download
the app. Use the code CLNS for a first deposit match up to 100. Download that app today. Use the code CLNS for a first deposit match up to 100. Do it now. Get in on the action. What's up, Jimmy?
I'm told we're going less. In like the first half of NCAA games, we're going less because there's just something there. There's some kind of equation behind that, I guess. So I'm just going to listen to that.
That's what I've been told, but you never know. You never know. But again, it's not games, it's projections and it's different players and you never know exactly what's going to go. So get involved here. If you would like, once again, we want to tell everyone here what's going on at the Garden Report. In regards to our little tournament, and am I going to put it on here? Let's put it on here. Oh, wait. I don't want to remove it. I want to play it. And how do I play it? Are you still here? I can't play it right now. All right, I'm adding it to the stage. There it is. There we have it. March Madness Garden Report bracket. There is a play-in right now that you can vote in. You only have tonight, during the game, and the rest of the 24-hour time that we have here on Twitter.
Can't add that one. Sorry.
Oh, come on. That is not fair. You should
have. Probably should have had that one, though.
Should have.
So you don't know ball. You don't know ball.
Blorp, and is that a tie? Are in a play-in in the Hermann Gomez region and over in the Kevin Jelly region. I just spit out my vodka taking on Tilapia TV. A couple of new entries here, so jump in and vote right away.
Josue versus third center is tough.
Where is he your third center?
Below Josue.
Oh, wow, that is so stacked.
That's a brutal first-round matchup.
That's a tough five seed. He's your third center versus Thanasis. If that happens, Bobby, you should be worried. Polar opposites.
Yeah. Well,
this is my
third center.
This is my division over here.
The Fart might be a sneaky championship favorite. People are loving that.
It's gonna earn it if it does. It has to go through the gauntlet, I think.
Yeah.
To do it.
I think it's got a winnable bracket. I think it's got a winnable first and second round there, though. So I would peg Fart for the final four, I would say. And then,
yeah.
He's
your third center is going to be interesting. Yeah. The five.
I like it.
The five versus one is going to be. Yeah.
Luke's desserts are going to be.
Luke's lemon squares.
A dangerous one, too. There's a lot of good candidates there. I think this year, compared to Phenomenal, I mean, Phenomenal was like Anthony Davis, Kentucky. It just tore through everybody. This year is going to be a lot more competitive.
It's competitive. We had to remove some oldies but goodies simply because they're not in circulation. We don't talk about Hermann Govins and Kevin Jelly anymore.
We
got to
bring them back if we're gonna bring them back on that.
We'll do it like Survivor. You know, there'll be like a second season bracket where we bring on some of the greatest hits, or we'll do something. You know, maybe there'll be a Legends Tour bracket and an all timers. But
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's gotta be there.
Speaking of legends, I'm seeing one just pop into our queue, John.
What? Who's here?
One of our legends, living legends.
Oh, this guy?
Yes.
Brady Bunch.
Here we are.
Ta-da.
Assembled.
Is this the lineup that, what's his name like?
Looking down at Bobby.
Yeah, it is, right? Bobby and I in the backcourt.
Looking at John. Looking down at Bobby. What's up, Bobby? What's going on, man?
What's up, fellas?
What do you got, Josue?
Josue, bring us something. Illuminate us.
Joe Mazzulla is so in love with this team. I mean, look, he's talking about the stuff that the other guys are bringing to the table. And it's just, this isn't, don't call it experimenting because he doesn't like that word. This is preparation for moments that could happen in the future. And with the double bigs lineup and, effort from guys all the way throughout all four quarters, even though this game was done well before the fourth, he's impressed with it. And of course, that's what he was asked about in terms of like people coming into the game, making the most of their moments. Again, this isn't an experiment. I think he's going to turn to some of these guys throughout the postseason in different moments, whether it's someone like Luke Kornet, who put up another solid performance in this game, even throughout the first half. He just seemed like he was focused on both ends. And then you got X, who's getting familiar with everything, and it's just coming to him naturally, according to Joe Mazzulla. So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the gist of what happened out there. And in terms of Derek White getting his triple-double, he said, man, that doesn't even – like, that's great because it shows the kind of player he is that he can do that, but it's – as he put it, it doesn't really show how good he's been as a two-way player. And of course, what he means to the defense. So I took that as, look, Derek, go get your triple-double. This one's on me. He set up the play coming out of the timeout, got the pass that he needed to get that 10th assist. And then he pulled him out in the fourth, man. It was just a great way to end the game. D. White.
D. White finally got that trip dub. Well deserved. Guy, if anybody deserves
first
it,
ever.
It's D. White.
First ever triple dub. Yeah, I'm surprised.
The biggest credit to D. White.
I wouldn't surprise me if he gets a few more before the season ends.
Yeah, the biggest credit to D. White and the way he's played is that it's actually incredibly surprising to most people that this is his first triple double, because you're like, seems like he would do stuff like this all the time. But I mean, again, that's the level he's playing at this year, which is, I think, just the highest level of his career. And you could say that about a couple of Celtics right now, and which is why they are where they are right now, which is ridiculous. 54-14. Holy jeez. 40 games over 500. They are now officially, with tonight's win, 10 games ahead of the Bucks. 10 games ahead of the Bucks in the Eastern Conference heading into Wednesday night's matchup. What's up, Josue?
Crazy. No, I was just going to say also, and let's face it, if Derek White was that guy, he can go out there and get that triple-double. How many times he flirted with it? But he's not a guy going to be looking up at the box score being like, oh, man, I got to get three more rebounds. Or, oh, man, I better make sure, I get a couple more assists. But in this type of game, in this type of atmosphere, when he was so close, I love that Joe Mazzulla sort of, nudged him in that direction. Say, all right, I could easily bench all the starters right now, but go ahead and get your triple-double, man, because this should be like your sixth this season. He's done this so many times this year.
Well, what else this shows, what's interesting, we were talking about earlier, and yes, Detroit is bad, and Detroit was undermanned tonight.
Detroit is very bad.
You're hardly facing, an A-list team, but every time you have one of these games where the Celtics sit three of their core six, you get a glimpse of what it would be like if they were a 40-win team or without all of these players on their team, and their entire team was comprised of Jaylen Brown, Derek White, and they were starting Luke Kornet on a nightly basis, and Peyton Pritchard, and that's just who they were, and like what kind of stats these guys would have if they weren't surrounded by superstars all the time. And Derek White, as the number two scoring option on a team that was destined for a sixth seed in the playoffs, which is what the Celtics might be if you removed half of their stars, would be averaging what? 24, 25, 26 points per game, 6, 7, 8 assists. Like, that's kind of what he would be regularly. Jaylen Brown would be flirting with a 30-point, per game average if he had to be the primary scorer all the time. So you do get that little, Tatum put up, 30 and, in his sleep last night in the same exact vein. If it was just him, that's where he would be as well. So it just shows you, the type of numbers these guys would have if they were running their own team, and the type of, and I hate saying the word sacrifice because it's not really a sacrifice when you're winning. The whole point is to win, but how the numbers are sacrificed based on the fact that they are playing on a team that has, essentially five all-star level players right now.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's unbelievable, man.
Yeah.
We take it for granted, man. Or maybe we don't. Maybe we're starting to really establish the fact that this is a historic offense in NBA history. I think
I thought about this, by the way.
Since the All-Star break, I feel like it's like, okay, this is getting ridiculous. And we, We got to appreciate this.
Karma.
What do you mean karma?
Yeah, it's crazy No, it would have been karma if they got hurt. But it's hard. I mean, again, this that was John's fire take after last night's show, just so you missed it. But it's hard.
They were chasing that record, embarrassing the Wizards. Yeah.
Oh, you mean when Hauser went down?
Yeah.
Oh, I bumped into him in the hallway.
Like literally bumped into him? Dude, stay away.
Yo, he's so mad at me. It was the bad ankle. No, I'm just kidding. I just saw him walking out.
Was he walking like normal? Was he walking with a limp?
He looked great. I'm like, you good? How's the ankle? He goes, feeling much better, man. Feeling much better. So I don't take that for what it's worth. He was on his way out. It was like right after the game ended. He was obviously didn't play tonight. So
all right, Joe Tway reports no pain in the ankle. Everything's good. Yeah.
Kept him moving.
He'll be in the game Wednesday.
We find out tomorrow on Twitter or something. He's like, Josue Pavone stepped on my ankle last night. That'd be terrible.
Man, the talent discrepancy is wild in this one. I mean, even with the Celtics benching some guys, this Detroit team, the Wizards team last night, the NBA, I don't know what's going on, man, but the Celtics now have a 10-game lead, you said, John, over the Bucks, which is more than the difference between the 1 and the 8 seed in the West. The Celtics between 1 and 2 are further away than OKC is against whoever the 8 seed is in the West right now. That's how far and above better the Celtics have been than anybody in the East this year. And Wednesday is like the last sort of litmus test I think you can really have. I mean, they do play OKC one more time, but if you're really talking about, you know, the playoffs coming up here, you're much more likely to see the Bucks than you are the Thunder. I mean, there's a chance the Thunder get all the way to the finals. I mean, that wouldn't be that crazy.
Yeah, but have we ever seen the Celtics with this type of lead? I mean, maybe before my day, maybe in the 80s or so. But
we should ask John. But for us, no. Yeah, I mean, the 07-08 team.
Max would be like, "Oh, we had a 13-game lead," but I don't take that for what it's worth. I'm sure he's not that far off, but you know, he's gonna add a couple of games in there, but. During the 08 team or even the year after that, even though it was kind of short-lived that the KG went down, but they never had that type of lead atop of the East.
No.
That 09 team.
It's not just the lead over the East. It's also the lead, like, in games, the amount of 20-point leads, the amount of amount of 50-point wins, like, it's that point differential thing. They're not just this far ahead in games. They're just this far ahead in every game.
Basketball. Yeah.
Yes. it's really incredible right now how far ahead of most teams that they are. And again, we're reaching that point in the season where you're going to see a lot of this. You're going to see some teams shutting guys down or not taking risks or bumps and bruises. So as bad as some of the teams are, you're going to see them even worse.
What was the reason for Cunningham sitting tonight? Did they just kind of make something up, Cade Cunningham?
They just sat him, I think, right? What was it?
Hurt feelings after he blew it last night? Hurt feelings, maybe?
Nah, you know, when he said the injury management one, it's like, oh, he's just getting
some exactly. Rest. I mean, the Pistons did freaking blow it pretty damn bad last night. They had tie game with 10 seconds.
He was injury management heading into Sunday's game. So this was just a whatever.
Back to back type thing.
They're on a back to back, and that was it, you know. So,
yeah,
even though the Celtics were too, but it's all
we're going to talk to you a little bit about Nutrafol. You guys know anything about this?
I'm starting to hear,
yes,
not as much as you guys know about it, but I know a little bit about it.
Sherrod, like I said, not everything's for you, my man, but hair growth and hair health, and again, Nutrafol's drug free whole body approach promotes hair growth from within, no compromise, just better hair. Hair thinning is not inevitable. You can take control of your situation and your life. You're like me and Bobby, hair's flowing. You think you're going, it's good. Bobby, I'll tell you, you don't know what that's going to look like in 25 years. You know,
I've already seen some gray.
You don't know. But again, 80% of men will experience hair thinning in their lifetime. It is entirely normal. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. You do not want to shed, right? Right. I want a hypoallergenic reporter, Bobby. I don't want you shedding everywhere you go. physician formulated using 100% drug-free ingredients. So take the first step to visibly thicker hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off first month subscription. Once again, $10 off first month subscription, free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com/ what do we got here?
Men.
Nutrafol.com/men and use the code GARDEN. Once again, $10 off Nutrafol.com/men. Use the code GARDEN.
What you guys make of Evan Fournier? You got an Evan Fournier appearance.
Forgot he existed.
Trash.
But doesn't that give you like a quick
hot garbage?
Didn't it take you back to 2021 when we were arguing if the Celtics should bring him back and that whole
just sign him to like a multi-year extension?
We need Bobby back on the show for that take, Joseph. Yeah, because I think he was banging the drum for re-signing Fournier.
That
because he was so worried that the cupboard would be left bare, and I understand the rationale behind it because I think we all talked about it. Like,
be better off bare.
No, it's like you made.
But then you see Derek White out there.
You used your exception. You used everything, and you signed a guy who you weren't going to bring back, and it might have been poor use of it because now you were going to lose that money if you didn't, you know, apply it to something else, and then you got a Fournier exception off of that, you know, move there. But like that was it. Like it was more of a should you just keep the asset just to have it? It was also Fournier versus Smart, I guess, was the conversation we were having there. If Smart was going to get an extension.
If you're going to extend him, right. But
and it was who were you going to pay? And it was a question of between those two. And it was maybe trade Smart and pay Fournier, you know. So that was a legitimate discussion, not just we were having or that Bobby. There was plenty everything of people on both sides of that. Yeah.
And the timing of that is crazy because you look back to that season, that offseason rather, and that's when everything switched, right? That's when eventually they hired E-May. Front office brings up Brad Stevens, Danny Ainge walks away. Does Danny make the same moves? I don't think so. I mean, we always talk about the Horford trade and later down the road, Derek White. But I mean, that decision though, like if the Celtics were to bring him back, like, it would have really made the other steps harder to
and everything went backwards with him. And again, he had that first season in New York where the numbers were respectable. You know, not great, but just the wrong coach and the wrong situation for a guy who doesn't play defense. And right. Tibbs just shut him down. You know, like I don't want this guy anymore. And I guess Bobby wants to be on the show again. What's up, Bobby?
Tough timing for you, Bobby. Tough
Why
timing.
Is that?
The Evan Fournier conversation.
Oh, that's
I mean,
brutal.
Listen, this isn't a shot at Bobby. It's just one of those things where I feel like it's like a quick wink from like the basketball god being like, yo, remember this dude? And then like you see Derek White going off.
Those were dark days. Those were the COVID years.
And you're like, man, if they brought that guy back, like something doesn't happen, or at least two other things down the road doesn't happen.
Found Bobby's burner.
I'm gonna pull a John. At that time, you had no shooting whatsoever.
It wasn't a bad take at the time,
Bobby. Right? I defended you. You're not pulling a John. I thought it was a reasonable take at the time.
No. He's saying
he's about to pull a John.
Because before the trade that year, you had Romeo out there and Tristan and Tice and
Romeo
Brown and Tatum just had no spacing whatsoever. You didn't have a single shooter on that team.
Couldn't rely on any of those guys. Exactly.
So I was begging them to make a move. They made it. Wasn't a good one. And that's probably one of the best decisions Brad's made, was not picking up that deal. Because remember how long he was in New York? It's like 2-3 years before they finally moved on from that contract. So that was
But they stopped playing him in year two.
Yeah, he was not playing.
He was on the bench for a whole year almost. So.
I wish I had an ACL at the end of the bench. Yeah.
Yeah, bad investment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, saw so the signs here.
What are we apologizing
Brad
for?
Brad did.
Yeah, so you don't apologize when something was right. Although that was wrong at the time, so I will apologize because that was probably my worst take in 4 years.
But you're rushing up on it.
Which is saying a lot.
I think you might have had worse tonight.
We could do a bracket of Bobby's bad takes. We should do that, actually.
No way.
I think on the whole, they've been
Bobby
pretty good.
Bobby just slaps it up there 10 minutes later.
Think on the whole.
It is amazing. Hauser's how. Well, the funny thing is not only is Hauser better at Fournier in terms of the obvious thing with just the shooting. Fournier was a decent playmaker though, but defensively he's held up fine. And the news on Sam Hauser, for those who didn't know, from Adam Himmelsbach of the Globe, was serious injury avoided. Shouldn't be too bad as for whether he plays.
We already
on
got
Wednesday.
Joe Sway's report.
Yeah, so. Was this before?
And then Joe Sway. Yeah, exactly. Joe Sway had the scoop.
Yeah, no, he gave, the, he gave me the political answer. He kept it. Yeah, he kept.
You
the
saw Sam?
Sam Hauser, yeah, seen walking without
I
a
saw
limb
him in the tunnel
in good spirits.
The yeah. I was like, how's the ankle? He's like feeling much better to, you know, today. So I was like, right.
That's good.
And I kind of watched him walk off too. I'm like, yeah, he looks pretty good.
But you watched him?
How was his gait?
Yeah.
I think I used the same phrase. How was his gait? Was he ambling?
It was fine.
You know where I learned that?
Yeah, that,
yeah, that railing. Did he use a railing?
Or... Oh, if I were Nick, I would tell you all to like the video right now, but I don't see him here.
I don't think
he's gonna pop.
I don't think I knew about that word before Gordon Hayward. We used to talk about that a lot with him, I think.
Yeah, you can. Gordon Hayward. We should get Gordon Hayward on the show just to get his opinion on all the injuries.
Yeah, John, you just highlighted it. Yeah,
we can throw that one up there too, Jimmy. I want to keep Hayward.
Yeah, what about when he said iced tea instead of ice cube? That was a good one. He said iced tea was going to the Basketball Hall of Fame, and he like kind of argued about it. I go, Nick, there's no way that's right. It was one of the funniest exchanges I've had on here with Nick.
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that.
Ice Cube was being inducted. He was like, no, man, it's iced tea. And then later on, he revealed maybe why he got mixed up there, because he was low.
Emperor Palpatine Fest. It's funny shit. Amit's doing all the dirty work right now.
Yeah, we just talked to Chris Stapps. I snuck in for the end of it in the locker room there. I didn't hear the health part of his interview.
Amit are not allowed in the room at the same time.
But I will say, he's loving playing with Luke. By the time I got in there, that's what he was talking about.
Yeah. Here's someone else talking about something. Joe Mazzulla talking about the team trying to stay focused through this slog of a schedule that they have to play up 10 games and having clinched this thing a zillion years ago. And
playing scrubs.
Will they have any trouble staying motivated late in the season, late into the season?
It should be an issue at this late in the season with not you, but just the team, and kind of it gets monotonous to blow teams out. I mean, are you having to push guys, or is there anything different you do, or are the guys just so self-motivated now?
No, I mean, they're self-motivated. I think if you want to get to the level you want to get to, you know, there's time for short-term motivation. But the greatest strength of this team is the locker room and their character and the way that they play, and we've had very few of those this year. And no, I mean, I don't have to do anything to motivate them. They do it on their own.
So I count two really bad losses this year. The Hornets one, the Lakers one, in terms of letdowns, you know, playing down the competition. And they did that all of last year. Pacers, Magic, Thunder, blah, 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 blah. I asked Al about it yesterday, and he gave me a pretty canned answer. But why do you guys think that is this year? That I know they had the almost slip up against Detroit the first time they played them, but they blow them away tonight, blow away the Wizards yesterday, almost slipped up against the Wizards the first time but got right. Why do you think last year there were so many letdown, play down the competition losses, and this year there's been almost none?
A couple of things, Bobby. I mean, you can look at Tatum and Brown's growth, but you can also look at the new weapons that they have. You know, we've been talking about it all year long, Porzingis and Jrue Holiday, but also just the maturation process. I feel like, you know, so many times they had those head scratching losses where they're looking at, they had to essentially look at themselves in the mirror and be like, what do we need to do to avoid these? And you can always talk about what happened in Eastern Conference Finals as well. I mean, that's a great lesson in itself, but I don't think it really, it doesn't pinpoint losing against teams, like you just said, like when they play down to competition or when they're stars or aren't even in the mix, and all of a sudden, you know, they're letting these guys get out to these runs, and they make these mental mistakes. I think that's really what they've grown mentally as a team, but specifically those guys and the leaders, you know, with Tatum and Brown leading the way. But I also just think just they're just a better team, especially the starting five. And I think having that experience helped them a ton coming into the season.
It's the players.
Plus, Joe's much more comfortable as a head coach too. But yeah,
it's the new guys.
It's the new guys. It's addition by addition and addition by subtraction. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to crap on the other guys. I don't think it was the right group and the right fit. And I didn't think so for a while. And Jimmy agreed. And we know this. Like I thought they needed a core shakeup the last couple of years. People just kept saying, run it back. And I think it was evident. There's just more grown-ups in the room right now. Derek White evolving into a leadership position, being given more trust, having the ball in his hands because Marcus Smart's not here and he doesn't have to defer nearly as much. And it was, okay, here you go. So, again, it's not a knock on Smart and the things that he did here, but they're better off in the situation that they're in now. You bring in Holiday, who will literally do anything asked of him at any given time with no regard for his personal, for his stats or whatever. He's entering a contract year and his stats absolutely cratered and doesn't care. And it's not an issue for him. And you have Porzingis, who's happy to be here, perfect in his role. There's just too many grownups. Before, if you had a bad Tatum game or a bad Tatum and Brown game, these losses were possible. You could have bad losses to any teams at any time because you didn't have anybody else who could carry you or pick up the slack. Way too many people here who prevent that from happening. I think that's why they haven't had as many meltdowns as they've had, is someone is going to step in and stop it from happening. Whereas before it was always up to two guys, and if they couldn't do it, nobody would.
Yeah,
the guys they brought in
freedom.
The guys they brought in have just gelled perfectly. Whether it's Holiday, who's in my opinion made probably one of the biggest sacrifices on the team this year, I would say the biggest. Coming to a team and really kind of taking a backseat role, doing all the dirty work, taking the defensive matches. And Porzingis is just, I think he's just surpassed everybody's expectations for what he was going to be able to do on this team. And John, you mentioned Smart, and we've talked about Brogdon. Obviously there's a disconnect there too. I think you got to throw Grant Williams in there too now. It feels like that might have been a little something more than maybe we ever thought. And yeah, maybe Tatum has his back, and that's great. They're friends. But let's not forget, Grant Williams found the bench for a long time last season, and we were all kind of scratching our heads as to why. But I think there's something about Grant, whether it's on the court or off the court, that just rubs people the wrong way. And that could have just been it could have been just enough to not be, again, maybe the right message, maybe the wrong messenger type situation with him. And so moving guys around, getting certain guys off the team for whatever the reason is, and adding the right pieces back has all contributed to a team that is just clicking on all cylinders for the most part all season. Some of that's talent, but I think a lot of that is just guys understanding their role, accepting their role, and not trying to do too much. And you can say that from the top down. It feels like no one's trying to do too much on this team.
Yeah. I 100%. It's not. And I think they got it early, right?
My dog me.
No, but I agree with everything you said. I think they got it early, right? Like, I think early on they looked around and they're like, oh, this is real.
I am green, dude.
I know you have been all
what
day.
Is going on? This is like unbelievable.
Yeah, I believe it's green.
I'm gonna talk to Amit. I'm gonna have to talk to him about this.
I think they realized really early in the year, almost I think early in camp, they were just this is the real deal. Like this is something, and I think they all kind of bought into it as the season went on. I thought Brown and Tatum bought into it even more, which is great. I'm not saying they didn't in the early going, but you can kind of tell now it's a very single-minded purpose. Right. And I think they get what's going on here, the championship or bust aspect of this season. And I think they're holding each other accountable, and I think it's look,
I was just going to go there.
Yeah. Which? Where?
The embarrassment of the loss. I think last year they had a sense that they were going to automatically go back to the finals and it was just going to happen.
Yeah.
And then they lost in the East Finals and it was like, oop, we did something wrong. And they had to look themselves in the mirror.
Yeah. And I also think a lot last year, again, for whatever reason, you can look around the room and maybe not fully blame yourself. Think like, yeah, you know, Marcus jacking his threes and blah, 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 this and that. And you might find excuses elsewhere. I don't think you're doing that this year. I think, you know, you're seeing the effort being put forth by everyone else around you. If something goes off, you might be like, yeah, maybe I needed to do a little bit more here. So I just think it steps up everybody's game when you have this many professionals in the room who are all kind of doing things the way they're supposed to. And again, the best thing about Holiday and White is they just do, I mean, of course people make mistakes, but it just feels like they do everything right. They're just so plugged in, you know, and Porzingis has been doing the same. It's really terrific. Another thing I think someone put in the chat, I think is fair. Year two Joe and also having capable assistants behind him. I think it was a shit show last year. I think Joe was not just in over his head. I mean, I think he was, I don't even think he could see the surface at times. Like he was just trying to, you know, just get it done. And he had nobody to help him. He was just flying blind. So it's just all in all, there's just more professionals surrounding, you know, the two stars.
It's a team built to win. It's a team built to win.
You know what I mean? Yeah. How much does that help the start? I mean, what maybe it's the chicken and the egg thing, whatever. But like, I also think it's Tatum playing the best defense we've seen in his entire career. Like, I just feel like it's just more effort on that end. You know,
those guys have set times.
And then Jaylen, man, his offense is the All-Star break's been through the roof, but his consistency has been all year long, and he's accepted that challenge. I mean, I know we make jokes about him talking about all defense and all that and the campaigning, and no one was even going to mention that until he did, but he's still putting up the effort. I mean, it's like he put up that quote that's going to follow him essentially throughout this regular season, and he's trying his best to live up to it. And I think he's done a heck of a job, honestly, the two of them, between Tatum and Brown.
Yeah, and the needs to stem for a second. Guys. Needs to stem from those guys. So they've set a tone. I think they've been better about playing consistently and minimizing their bad play. And
who said less traffic?
Less traffic, yeah. I think that's 1 year ago, Jaylen said Matthew. That.
I give credit to the originator, yeah. That's pretty good.
That was the low point last year. You know
what else, Bobby? I think also
Jaylen alone.
Showing that you can, like, I think we had it in our minds that like there was only one way to win, or they might have been locked in, whether it was double big or win with defense or this or that. And now it's like, I think some of the like, this is kind of what I always said at the beginning of the year. It's like, make the other team have more problems with you than you have with them. Like the Celtics are a problem everywhere. They're a problem to defend. They're a problem defensively. Yes, they don't have Rob Williams or that great interior presence. I mean, you have Porzingis, who obviously is, you know, 7'3", and he can do a lot of, you know, different things as well, but it's not Rob. But you didn't need it. You're defending in a different way, and you've got these incredible switchable lineups and big, long people everywhere, and the ability to take Tatum off the ball and have him as a free safety, or do it with Holiday and all these different things. They've found another way to play a high level of defense that's different than the one that they were playing in that post-EMA year. What's up, Bobby?
Yeah, I hate to interrupt, but man, Anthony Edwards just threw down the best dunk maybe I've ever seen.
I thought something
watching,
really
are
bad
you watching
happened
TV
to Bobby.
Right now? We're on this a show.
This better be like the greatest dunk, one of the greatest dunks I've ever seen. Because
there's
think it's
a shortage of ADHD meds around the country right now.
Yeah.
And so that might explain.
Bobby
what's
is
happened.
Watching Anthony.
Bobby's on the second half of that.
I thought like the worst thing in the world happened based on his reaction.
I thought someone was hurt.
Oh no, did we just find out that like, you know,
also, by the way, I just turned on Twitter. I this is what I get. Bobby, you don't have to stand. You don't have to stand so close to the camera, do you?
Oh, so you both are distracted. Both of you guys are distracted. Pay attention. We're doing a show here.
It's fine.
Well, I just turned on Twitter to look for the Anthony Edwards dunk, and I got Bobby in my. Yeah.
Wait, guys, hold on. Not to interrupt, but this is Bird. It's right outside my window. Right?
Yeah. All right. Well, now I'm going to Twitter. Somebody else host the show. I'm going to go look for the dunk.
No, see, look what you guys do.
Bye.
Let's talk Bucks. No. What do you expect on Wednesday, Jimmy?
Let's talk Bike Watch, Bobby. What happened tonight?
With Porzingis?
Oh, my God.
We got Bike Watch tonight.
No, we have Porzingis is in the past. He's fine. I want to talk Bucks.
You want to talk Bucks?
What do you expect? Is this a real matchup, or is Celtics just going to blow them away?
It's a real matchup.
The Bucks, we'll find out. It's going to be a real. It's not going to be a blowout. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think that dunk is filthy. Okay, all right, now I'm going to go look at it. But hold on.
No, no, not till after the show, guys. Come on. Oh, I didn't mean right now.
I think he broke his hand.
I mean, he killed John Collins.
No. Okay, let me ask you a question. If the hand doesn't touch the rim, is it a dunk?
That was a dunk.
If the hand doesn't touch the rim, is it a dunk, John? Your thoughts?
You mean like the Dwight Howard thing of the dunk contest?
Exactly like that, Josue.
Yeah. I don't know if
Anthony Edwards doesn't actually touch the rim on this dunk.
So you're going to take away from that dunk, Jimmy?
I'm not taking it away. I'm just asking the questions. Someone's going to ask the questions, Bobby. I'm just asking the questions.
The answer could be no.
I'll leave it up for the case, people.
In this case, he gets a pass. I mean, he went from like the free throw line.
Jaylen Brown just goes, nah, this is crazy. He just posted on Twitter. The same dunk.
I know you're.
Everyone's distracted by this dunk, I guess.
All right, John's been singing Edwards praises all year.
I hate to be the one to ask the question. I've loved him forever.
I mean, I think he's such an amazing... Yeah, but
the fact that Jaylen Brown quote tweeted this thing just now, it's hilarious. All right, I got to see.
That might be the best dunk I've ever seen.
No.
Is it Vince Carter?
No, it's not Vince Carter. That's the best
dunk. Ooh, that's not Vince Carter from Team USA? Are you sure, Jimmy? It's close. Did he jump over him?
Vince Carter dunked it.
Oh, I got to see the replay then.
He was grabbing his hand afterwards.
Oh, no. He didn't clear the guy. He didn't clear the guy, though.
He does look like
why is he grabbing his hand? Did he hit a guy with it or something? Because he didn't hit the rim with it.
Does look like his hand's hurt.
He might have hit
why? It. Why? Oh, when he landed. When he landed, I think. Not on the actual.
All right, guys. Let's focus here.
Focus, guys. Focus. Okay? We've got 5 minutes to go. We have to finish up here.
You're like awful, John.
I am?
No, this game is huge for the Bucks, guys. I think this is going to be a legit game on Wednesday night.
I'm throwing this up one more time, letting everybody know what's going on.
Real quick. Before
Jimmy, Doc loves these matches.
Real quick. He's holding his left hand. He dunked it.
I know. I didn't understand right that.
Because he used his left hand to like catapult himself up. And I think in doing so, he probably sprained a finger or something. Anyways, go on. Anyway, you asked me about the Bucks. We'll have to answer that later.
I'm telling you guys one more time, and then we'll talk about the Bucks, and we'll wrap it.
I can't even see. Okay.
It got blurry. Why did it get blurry?
I don't know. It's blurry for me, too.
Yuck.
No, I could never see it. I think I'm going to need glasses. When you put it up earlier, I couldn't see
it. There we go. It looks good now, right?
I don't see
anything. Yeah, it looks better now, for sure. Looks better.
It wasn't blurry. Oh, yeah. Anyway, go vote in our play-in game bracket. Once again, it's an 8-seed matchup, Blorp versus Is That a Tie? Going against, and then the winner plays Thanasis Manning in round one. And in the other play-in game, you have I Just Spit Out My Vodka going up against Tilapia TV. And that winner goes up against You Got Tangwade in a 1-8 matchup. So vote. It's in both of our YouTube channels here, but it's also going to be on. It's also on Twitter. We will add it up as time goes on Twitter. So there is still a chance.
You know what we could do? Also, what I've seen happen a lot for these brackets, John, and maybe it will hurt me for this one, but on our Instagram page on stories, you can do voting on like the story. You can just go matchup per matchup. So there would be eight stories on our Celtic CLNS Instagram page, and you can really easily vote on those. That might be another way to do it.
Yeah.
Just a little thought.
Thanks,
just
Jimmy, for making my life harder. But no, that's cool.
That's Amit. That's all on Amit.
Who do you got here, Josue?
For the bracket?
Who are you picking to win?
Oh, geez. First time I'm actually thinking about this. I don't know, but I feel like Jimmy's Far is going to be one of those early exits. Like the
I think
team
that's
that,
a good.
Like,
oh, really? You're not picking it to win?
No,
early exit.
You know, when people are not quite sure, so they just kind of go off of whatever that when they fill out their brackets. I feel like that's the one where a lot of people are going to predict as number one to win it all, but it'll fall short in the final four or something.
Who do you got, John?
I don't know.
I think he's your third center is going to make a Cinderella.
I haven't gone through. I don't know what the people are feeling these days. I also think people have a recency bias. So I think some of this new hotness coming in here in those 7-8 spots, they could threaten top seeds. I think people like upsets. Okay. And so this isn't like a game where like Thanasis Manning actually has better players. Like, you know,
no, but it's got to have fans. It's got to have
I love Thanasis Manning. My God.
I think the fart's going to win.
I'm going to make it to the final.
I think it's going to be Thanasis versus the fart.
Herman Gomez is just a stacked region. I mean, there's like four winners out of that side. You got Tanguy. He's going to cruise to the championship.
I think the final four is going to be Luke Squares, Boomer, Thanasis, and Fart. And I think Fart's going to take it.
You know what? I think Luke Squares loses to Do You Have Children in round two.
Me too.
Really?
Yes, I do.
Do You Have Children is pretty good.
You have children here?
Yeah, so that's 1-3 on that side. And the other one. Tanguay is
going to smash. If Gary finds out that that's one of them, man. No, I'm just kidding.
Sad Girls has got a little bit of a cult following, but I don't know if it's got enough steam as the three.
Thanasis Manning is a load.
Yeah, because that has the Jay Bobby thing in it, too, that a lot of people want to see here, but I think you can just loop those together.
That's funny.
Do You Have Children's going to win that one for sure. I think Do You Have Children's coming out of the bottom part of that bracket. To take on You Got Tanguayed.
Yeah.
I think Tanguay might. That's my pick. I'm going with that one.
Tanguay. Honestly, on Herman Gomez could go like four different ways, man. It could.
Yeah, it's a loaded region.
I could see one versus four on the first half. Region. I could see one versus five. Sorry, one versus five, I mean.
The best first round matchup is Joe Sway versus third center. There's no doubt. That's going to be a tough third
center.
Round.
I think third center could really upset a couple here.
Yeah, they don't let you have bees in here. Yeah. I couldn't decide whether to go with Fax Machine or bees for Joe Sway. I initially had it as Joe Sway the beekeeper. And I switched it to Joe Sway's Fax Machine.
Yeah, I like the Fax Machine one. Bzzz. I missed that.
People were saying fax more. Yeah.
I like the
Joe Sway is fax my dog, but it's like fax fax. Like
fax my dog. That would be another one.
My favorite part about that night is the mic switch that we had. Remember, Bobby? We switched mics, and Bobby's like, "Yo, by the way, that thing's a little weird sometimes. You kind of have to, like, oh, all right." And then right as it's happening,
I warned you.
But after the fact, I watched it back, the clip, and Bobby goes, "I don't know what's up with Joe Sway today." I'm like, "You know exactly what's going on. You just."
I warned you.
Lort makes a good point.
I had no idea that was a sound, that sound was possible for that thing.
Lort makes a good point here. We haven't tanguayed enough people recently. We need to get back.
We didn't. You know why? Because
I know, but we have one.
It gets old really fast.
We needed a quick tanguay. We needed just like a quick version of it. Like a. That's a bad. We got to get. We know what we need. We got a couple of tanguay sound bites. Of him just being like, horrible drops. Take. Like, yeah. Drops. Yeah.
The way he was starting the commercial, that's why it was funny.
All right, let's get into this one time because we didn't get Joe Sway's take. There was a groundswell of support on the show last night for a little psychological warfare and have the Celtics put everybody as questionable on the injury report heading into Wednesday and then sit them all and have the Bucks coming in here super excited to show what they've got. And then the Celtics be like, yeah, we don't care. You guys don't deserve our full effort. But Jimmy wants to send a message. Just
well, that's not happening anymore.
Why?
You don't got to send a message. This means more to Milwaukee. So, you know, I'm not saying go full bench, but if you want to rest a couple guys, maybe Tatum and Brown, I mean, go ahead and let's see what happens. I think the Celtics could still have a shot to win at the end. Maybe they lose it. Maybe it's a nail biter, but I think that's a better message to send to the Milwaukee Bucks. Like, man, we're focusing on ourselves. We don't need to measure ourselves to you guys. This means way more to the Bucks. So yeah, I wouldn't mind that. Honestly, Jimmy.
I didn't even think about it until someone mentioned it in the chat. And I was like, I like that. That's what I want to do. I want to mess with them. I want them to
these games. he will use that as, you know, locker room fodder, all that. Hey, listen, we did it. Remember back in March, this is how we did it. Like those late, huge, late regular season wins, right when you're trying to steer your team into the right momentum going into the playoffs, which they're kind of on right now. I got a wave going at least. And yeah, Doc's that coach, man. So he's this means a lot to him. So that would crush him. So yeah, I'm with that.
They did do it last year at the Bucks, and they almost won that game. So it's not unprecedented. I do wonder how likely it is, just because they've rested guys so much the last couple of games, that it feels like that's building toward actually playing the full squad in this game. So that's what I'd predict. But I wouldn't be stunned.
Yeah.
I would be. They sat Tatum tonight. They're not going to sit in Wednesday. Guys are getting ready to go again. Porzingis looked sharp tonight. They want to get guys going. They want to see you put your best up against your best. I'm not saying sell out and, you know, 40 minutes for everybody, but you guys are frauds right now. You guys are like
pretenders.
Yeah, you're going to plus you have anger the basketball gods. You're going to anger the basketball gods. You have another one in Milwaukee
too, Jimmy. Remember that.
That one's the one they're going to bench. They'll bench them for that one, Joe Sweat.
I just think it's savage. Like, you know, I can see both ways. Going out there,
that seems like a Joe thing to do.
Going out there and beating the tar out of them would feel great. But pretending you don't care about them is, I think, just such a friggin' savage move to just, yeah.
You do care about them, though. But you do care.
Yeah, but you act like you don't.
What are you trying to get a girl? Are you trying to like pick up a chick or something? Like, this is what they tell you. Like,
Don't show her. Don't call her for 4 days.
Yeah,
hey, be an asshole. Number.
Don't call her back.
2 days.
Don't text 2 to 3.
Four days.
She triple text you first.
Hi, this is Nikki.
Like,
leave a message. No, I was thinking of you guys watch Mad Men?
No.
I never got into that.
There's a great scene in it where, like, the Don Draper's got the younger ad guy who's, like, kind of, you know, nipping on his heels, and he's the ideas guy now, and he messes him up one time, and the kid gets really upset, and he's like, I feel bad for you, Don, and he goes, that's funny. I don't think of you at all, and he just walks out of the elevator, and that's kind of what I want to do here, you know?
Yeah. We got another dunk. Bobby,
did you see another dunk? Another one?
We got another dunk.
This fucking guy, man.
Here we go. Dunk watch.
Well, tell us who this for. You don't want to talk to us without telling us you don't want to talk to us.
Anymore. No, I'm just kidding. Same. I want to see the full squads in this game, because that Milwaukee game.
We all do. We all do.
You want to see toe for toe? I don't think the Bucks are a threat.
No, you don't.
I've been there. I think
no, I this... do, but I support the other move because I think it'd be great. But I want to see it because it's boring to talk about anything else. I'm just saying, messing with the Bucks in that way, I'm not against it. But yes, of course, I want to see the game. I agree that the Bucks, you have nothing to gain, and the Bucks have everything to gain.
Right. So you have nothing to gain, exactly. So let me ask all you guys this: let's say the Celtics go for it on Wednesday, and the Bucks do too, and the Bucks win. What say you then?
Doubt creeps in.
Some doubt. No doubt.
That's exactly what Doc
some
wants.
Some doubt or no doubt.
That's all Doc wants. He'll use that until the series happens in the playoffs.
No doubt that there would be some doubt at that point. But I don't think – I just look at how the Celtics – look at how the Celtics have played in recent weeks. Competition aside, they destroy bad matchups on the defensive end. And the Bucks have so many. You can go at Lillard. You can go at Crowder. You can go at Beasley to some degree. I just don't think they have enough defenders there to stick with what the Celtics are doing offensively. And listen, I'm interested to see how Giannis leads that group. He's having maybe the best season of his career statistically. And Lillard and him are starting to find something here. And the defense has crept up just a little bit. But as I've talked about, one thing that I find interesting between these two teams here and how they match up, Celtics have gone all out on offensive rebounding this year. It was a big part of tonight's win, too. And the Bucks have effectively quit offensive rebounding under Doc, which has always kind of been his thing. So the Celtics are going to win the boards automatically on top of the shooting advantage they have, on top of the depth advantage they have, on top of the defense advantage they have. So where are the Bucks going to find their little advantage? It's not going to be free throw shooting. I think Middleton's still banged up, so that's another knock on their depth.
I don't see it with them this year, John. It's like the 2019 Celtics. You just keep thinking they're going to figure it out. The talent's there. They had high expectations coming in. They're pretty good all year. The record's still good. But they're not at the level you thought they were going to be. And I think, Bobby, that's where they're headed.
I don't think the story is about whether the Celtics are equipped to beat the Bucks. I think most people believe – like, I don't think that's what we're debating. Like, the Celtics are better than the Bucks. You assume that they're going to beat them. But it's really about whether or not you want to give Milwaukee that extra juice, feeling that, hey, we can beat these guys. What if the Celtics have that bad shooting night? It just is what it is. It's one of those games, or Giannis goes off and they don't have anyone to stop him. You don't want to show them anything. Oh, okay, here's what they did to us last time. I don't want to see that again this time. And so we're going to do something a little bit different. That's what we're talking about. It's whether there's any advantage to you psychologically, tactically, strategically, whatever you want to do it, to going out and winning, and how much is to be gained with how much is to be lost.
And I understand what you're saying.
But I know you get it, but Bobby's doing a scouting report on both teams. And I was saying, I don't think that's what we're debating here. Like, right. Yes, we think the Celtics will win.
Even if they lose. Win. It's a seven-game series.
That's what we're talking about. Get there. Okay.
Yeah, even if they lose, it's a seven-game series when you get there. I just don't think the Bucks have enough to win four games over that series. They're so thin. They're so banged up at key spots. I don't know. Maybe I'll be proven wrong. They're playing better. They have firepower. They, arguably between Giannis and Dame, have more offensive firepower than Brown and Tatum. Like, you could have definitely argued those duos in terms of who's able to put out more from a scoring standpoint. But there's so many other different positions that the Bucks have to account for and that the Celtics can utilize. And it's what we've talked about all show, John. The amount of new guys, the weapons they have, how they're using them. So this isn't just going to be the Tatum and Brown show versus the Giannis and Willard show. It's going to be Porzingis and Drew and White, as well as the benches here. And I just don't believe in the Bucks. If they win this game, John, my antenna will go up, start taking a deeper look at them, see is something really happening here. But I just don't see it.
What about this, though? You give your best, they give their best. Let's say they beat you. Now you have some good footage onto what they might try to do in the playoffs. And so, instead of just being surprised by a wrinkle or something that you weren't prepared for, because you haven't had guys actually going up against them all year, because you didn't have anybody playing or you didn't have as many people playing last time when you got blown out. But that was a scheduled loss. You know, you want to bench the team tomorrow or Wednesday, and then you play them at the end of the season where you probably will rest some guys too. So it's like, congratulations. You have no idea how to play these guys.
That's a good point, Jimmy. Yeah.
Thank you, Bobby.
I'm trying to see with where that, settled. You know.
Oh, my God. Did you guys see that dunk?
I saw it a long time ago. No, there really was a dunk. It was Jalen. It was Jalen Johnson.
Yeah, I know.
Better be good.
Not nearly as good as Edwards.
Did he touch rim?
I think he did.
Oh, it's a throwdown. If it's not a dunk, it's a throwdown. When you violently throw it downwards, it's a dunk.
Oh, BR just put a new angle.
Really? Is that the definition, John?
Sorry, hold on. It's a new angle, Jimmy. I got to go. New angle.
John's taking it.
We need a dunk interruption. Yeah, we need a dunk report between every segment.
He almost cleared him, Jimmy.
No, it was.
That one was worth the interruption. Johnson's wasn't.
Let me ask you this: is Anthony Edwards?
Damn, Collins took an L there.
Number one pick overall in the NBA. If you threw everybody into the draft tomorrow, is Anthony Edwards number one?
No, Wemby.
Yeah, okay, Wembanyama.
Is Anthony Edwards number two?
Or Luka.
Are you taking Tatum or Edwards, John? In that draft.
I think Tatum right now is a more complete all-around player, but I don't know. I don't know in 2 years.
Coward.
That's Edwards.
He would take Edwards, yeah. Edwards at his age is better than Tatum.
I don't know if he's going to have a better career, but for the entertainment factor alone and the personality, he's such an easy guy to like and to follow, and his game's really dynamic. But I don't know ultimately if it's, you know, what it's going to be, the finished product. But he's electric. He's insane.
Yeah, you know? Tatum is the win now.
He might have more potential. Now, you know, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, could be for sure.
Yeah.
How likable is Anthony Edwards? I don't know him. I don't know.
Oh my God, he's got a great personality.
Yeah,
yeah,
huge personality.
Yeah,
that would be a great finals, Minnesota Boston.
Big personality guy. Are you more personality or looks?
Me, I'm a legs guy. Yeah,
yeah. You're a dunks guy. You're a dunks guy too. Apparently,
I do. I
mean, dunk angle.
We are.
Yeah. Yeah, it's important that he has a sense of humor. Yeah.
Yes, that is important.
I'm being told to load manage on Wednesday, so I can't show up. Can't show up.
Really?
Sorry, guys. Yep.
Take that back there.
You'll be there.
All right, you guys. You'll miss me. You'll miss me when I'm gone.
Your chat always does.
Yep. Anyway, guys, thank you guys for hanging out with us in the chat. Once again, vote in the tournament. We have. Oh wait, what do I have?
What's that?
You want to hear Derek White talk about his triple double?
Sure do.
Let's hear Derek White talk about his triple double right now. Here's D White.
Bucket hat on. I'm not usually one that tries to like chase stats or whatnot.
Wow.
But
nice hat, Bobby.
I was one away. Realizing I was two away, and I mean that's probably why I had those three turnovers there at the end. But I mean, you can only. I've been close a lot of times, so I was like, I'm gonna try to get it this time. And I mean, I just gotta shout out to my teammates for real.
Whew.
There you have
that's
it.
That's tough. I'm gonna have to bring that out soon, but not too soon. That's a summer.
The Boston one,
the bucket hat.
No, we get our own. We get a phenomenal one, and you can buy it.
So merch. Can indeed.
Just hit the merch tab.
Oh, see you, John.
John's
we lost gone. John, folks.
He really that's loved okay. the merch. He just went off on that one, huh?
I think, John, there's a chance that John lost power. Oh,
whoa. It's like a little teeny swipe when I'm going through the chat. It knocks me right off the page, and I've gone off right now just trying to get through some chat. Looking
with a lot of comments coming in. Appreciate you guys.
Yeah, we will say all super chat. Oh, that's the wrong one here. All where did I want to say it? Prize Picks. Where's the thing with the thing?
Is our tournament presented by Prize Picks bracket?
No, there was something else here. I was trying to find.
Here it is.
For the merch. No. Oh, blurb.
Whoa.
Get that off of here. Here
that?
It is, merch. Is this it, John?
There it is. Merchandise. Go to shop, clnsmedia.com.
You have that on deck? You have that ready? The graphic?
Oh, you found
I
it.
Had,
found
I it. Had it ready, but the bucket hat's not on here. We got to get that on there.
That's Nick's hat on the left.
What if you use that Bobby blame pot?
That was Jimmy.
That was me as a blur.
By the way, look at all the people up top. Look at the important people that were included in the graphic. Bedard, Tangway, Goodman, Ryan, Max, Callahan.
This is pathetic. We need our own. Listen.
Look at us. We're down below. We got a shirt.
Bobby, Josue, John, you're on the fence, but we need to get our own promo, our own merch. Nobody on this. Nobody watching this show is going to buy Goodman's.
This is why Nick hates you. Yeah. This is why he hates you.
For a lot of reasons, but
that's why he hates you.
Yeah. Well, if you want to sell some bucket hats, we got to get Bobby wearing a bucket hat.
I can only do it when it's
by the way, the recurring bid for John all show. I appreciate you keeping it up all the way through. I do appreciate that.
I saw him say that about me too. And then I was like,
and Sherrod and Josue.
Plus, Max was making fun of the bucket hat. So now I'm going to be nervous to wear it around.
What does Max know about
style? He really was.
What was he saying?
Ooh.
He hates it. He said, never wear it.
He said, Bobby's don't.
Damn.
Yeah, he made a Gilligan's Island reference that Bobby didn't get.
Yeah.
You didn't get
nothing can stop me. Reference? Nothing can stop me in Summer League from wearing it.
The rest of the table didn't get it, though.
Nothing That's can stop cool. you, period, Bobby. You should have just ended the sentence there.
Yeah. You just went full-on boomer. Anyway, yeah, we're the Stay Ready crew of CLNS. That's who we are.
Yeah, seriously. What the hell is this? This is some BS.
Yeah.
Okay. We're the Stay Ready
Crew. I can't get any.
We got our faces on the t-shirt. Everyone go buy the t-shirt. We appreciate that.
It's fine. Anyway, we are going to wrap it because we got a big one on Wednesday. Excited to see everybody here. We expect full representation from the Garden Report, and we do expect full representation from the Celtics. I do think they're going to play everybody, and this will be a fun game and one of the last cool games with something to talk about afterwards here. Milwaukee Bucks coming to town. Celtics 10-game lead in the standings as the Bucks come to town, which is insane right now. 10-game lead in the Eastern Conference. Jimmy's going to say one more thing when I'm about to press the outro.
Just where again can everybody vote for the bracket? When to go live?
It's pinned in our chat. And we will release the bracket on Wednesday night in full with the play-in games resolved. And the voting will begin on Wednesday night's game and will carry over through the week as we whittle the field down from 16 to 8. It will not be decided on Wednesday alone. Okay.
Right.
So that's
it's
gonna
take a few days.
It's going to take a few days and a couple of games worth of voting, and we will tally them all and we will tell you what happens. In the meantime, thank you guys for hanging out. Jimmy Toscano, Josue Pavone, and Bobby Manning both reporting from the Garden. We expect Sherrod Blakely is in for the next game. The Professor Blakely teaches late on Monday nights, could not make it. Happy birthday to Zoe and Rosie, my twins. Turned
happy
today.
Birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, happy Zoe birthday. And Rosie.
Zoe and Rosie.
Would you have cake?
Six today. We had some cake. We did a bunch of different things. It wasn't a like a big dessert situation. We got simple stuff for them, you know.
Okay.
We took it easy. The good stuff's wasted on 6-year olds. Like, I don't let them eat the good chocolate too. They get Hershey's, you know. Like, they're the why give them like
smart. Yeah. You don't want
the gourmet stuff, you know.
You don't want to spoil them too young with the good stuff. That's for you.
Yeah. They
what about Easter? Know. You go heavy on the chocolate at Easter?
You know, we got a couple of Easter, so.
Oh, that's true. You do. Greek Easter.
Spread them out. Yeah.
Greekster's 5 weeks away. Thank you guys for the happy birthday wishes. The That's Jealous Originators, a sleeper, 7 seed.
They don't know that they're bracket stars.
Yeah. That's yeah. Funny. Yeah. So anyway, thank you again for everybody, and we will see everybody on Wednesday night. Good night, all.
Wait, Amit's got an outro for us, I think.
No, he doesn't.
He said he was going to work on an outro.
He had a phenomenal game.
Phenomenal game.
Horford's out. I think it's an option.
That did not sound like a chair.
It was a freaking chair. It does sound like a chair.